We have got a young gentleman on the phone, haven't we? Don't laugh. I told you not to laugh. Yeah, we have got the one and only Mick Gallagher. Hey, Mick, how are you doing?
I'm good, Liz. I'm good.
Good. That's brilliant. That's good. You are, just to let people know, you are part of the Blockheads, aren't you?
That's right. That's right, yes. I've been part of the Blockheads for 35 years now.
Is that all?
That's all, yes.
Oh, that's not long at all. Oh, gosh, it doesn't seem that long since sort of they've been around in that, eh?
It doesn't. It seems to have whizzed by. It was only yesterday we were young kids having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're old blokes having a great time.
Hey, as long as you're still having a great time, that's
what matters.
That's it. When you start sort of thinking, oh, do I have to do it? That's when you know it's time to give up, eh?
It's the balm of life playing, which is good. I mean, everything else that surrounds it, the travelling, the hours, the, you know, that's all a bit tedious. But you always get that adrenaline rush from being on stage, especially with people that you love playing with, which is what the Blockheads is about.
Yeah, exactly. And for people who know, it used to be Ian Dury in the Blockheads, but sadly Ian passed away.
Yes.
How long ago was it?
That was 2000, so it's, you know, it's a good while.
Oh, goodness, it doesn't seem that long, eh?
Whipped by, you know. Yeah.
Also, apart from the, we'll just quickly touch on this if you don't mind. You've also been, you've done a couple of, well, you've contributed to a couple of albums by The Clash.
Yeah. And been around a bit.
And, well, I didn't want to say that. You've also played with The Animals during 1965.
Yeah, and I'm back with them again. I've been for the last 10 years. That's my day job. We go all over the place. Yeah, that's good fun because that's sort of my roots, you know, that's where I came from.
Yeah, you're originally from Newcastle.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, so, and you...
I was lucky enough to get the job to replace Alan Price when he went AWOL, when they had the hit House of the Rising Sun.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that took me by surprise. Suddenly I was whisked away and doing stuff for The Animals, which was a wonderful experience.
I imagine it would, because you would still be sort of pretty young at that time, weren't you?
When... I just turned 18, I think.
Right, and so for to be sort of thrown into the deep end, if you like, with a band as big as The Animals as they were at the time.
Well, I think it's because I was young, I didn't really think about it. If
right.
I'd been a bit older, I might have, you know, been petrified. Being young, I just thought, well, I can do this.
Yeah, when you're sort of that age, you just go with the flow, eh? It's just like, whereas if you were asked to do it now...
You're fearless.
Yeah, if you were sort of thrown at the deep end now, at the age you are at just now, being 22...
You'd think twice.
Being 22 now, you know, you would just sort of... you would sort of think twice. But what we really want to talk about is you've got a new album out, haven't you?
We have. We haven't got a great batting average as far as putting albums out, but when we do put one out, it's worth listening to.
It definitely is. I've actually had a listen to it. It is just an amazing album.
Oh, good.
The 23rd of November, is it?
That's right. Right, and that happens to coincide with the 35th anniversary of the release of Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick.
Right.
And we didn't really know that until we thought, well, we'd put this out in October or something, and then somebody said, oh, it's the anniversary of Hit Me. We went, well, we can't miss that. We've got to put it out on that day. So that's what we decided to do.
Definitely.
Good or bad. We see we're independent of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
This is independent music and we can make our own decisions.
Right. You're not ruled by anybody, governed by anybody saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's called Same Horse, Different Jockey.
Yes.
How did you end up with that name for it?
Well, I mean, we did replace Ian, not with, you know, any name or anybody, but we replaced him with his driver and friend Derek,
right?
who once Ian had gone, he didn't really have a portfolio, if you want, you know, he didn't really have a remit. So we just brought him along to the gigs and he shook a tambourine, and then we sort of said, well, you can do a couple of the old hits, you know, Bill of Ricky Dicky and Clever Trevor, and he started doing that. And lo and behold, you know, 10 years down the line, he's now writing all the songs, and he's right up there in the front of it.
Wow. But then again, he did learn from the best if he learned from Ian, didn't he?
Well, yes, they had a rapport themselves. You know, the same similar humour, they hung out together. So, you know, it wasn't a big shift.
Mm-hmm. But all the same, it must have been strange for him trying to, sort of, if you like...
Well, it still is, you know,
you know,
because he's in his own right, he's very good, you know, but mm-hmm. We insisted, well, the audiences insist when we go and play, they want to hear the hits, you know.
Yeah.
And we can't bring Ian back, so Derek gets the job of singing them, and he does it in his way, not in Ian's way.
That's it. You can never replace someone like Ian.
Of course you can't. You know, everybody discovers that. But fortunately and unfortunately, we have this inherent catalogue that we must play, and we enjoy playing it. We love playing it.
Yeah.
But I think if you wanted to hear him, you'd want to hear Ian sing it. You know, Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. But Derek has come a long way, and in his own right, he's writing his own stuff, and we're very proud of it.
Right. Did Derek write some of these tracks that's on the album?
He wrote all the lyrics.
Did he write them all? Because you've got, 10 different tracks on it. And
that's right, they're all very varied.
And that's it. And the one that you're going to release first is Express Yourself?
It's called Express Yourself, yes. Mm-hmm. It is what it says on the tin. It's an expression of expressing yourself. It's going to be our first single. And we're actually, through the benefit of Kickstarter, which we had going, pledge thing, we now are able to do video. So I was 4 o'clock this morning. I was driving the crew down to North London.
Better you than me, that's what I can say.
Sorry?
Better you than me driving all the way down there.
Well, yes, but, you know, I'm dedicated.
That's what it is.
Somebody has to be.
It's true, yeah. Can I just, sorry, without being too crude, can I just touch on the album cover?
Yes, yes.
Who is that on the album cover?
I can't really say. I mean, it could be any one of the blockheads.
It's absolutely brilliant. It's really well done.
Or it could be, you know, who? Yeah, Ricky Gervais, maybe?
It's actually quite well done, to be honest with you. It really is well done.
It's a work of art. It's art. This was done by a Brit artist called Sarah Lucas.
Right.
Who's, a contemporary of Tracy Emin and people like that.
Right, yeah.
And she actually had this in an exhibition for a while. And when we were looking for an album cover, she said, "Oh, I'll give you a piece of my work." And we went, "Great." And she sent this across. And we all went, "Whoa." Then we kept talking about it and thinking, well, you know, if it's to make people look at it and comment on it, it does the job. Let's have that.
It definitely does, because it's been in the office here since you sent it to me, and I've had a few comments about it.
Yeah, well, this is it. It's a talk about, you know, it divides people, I think.
It does, yes.
And that's healthy. That's healthy because it, you know, it inspires comment and rapport, you know.
Yeah.
And we've had that, exactly, you know, as soon as it went up on the net, everybody's whoa, you know, at us. And, yes.
My station manager looked at it and went, what?
We've had very, very different reactions, but that's good. I mean, we are, as I say, we're the blockheads, we do what we want.
And the thing is, it is a unique picture that's on it. It's no one else has got one like that.
No one else has got one like that at all.
Sorry. Oh, thanks.
Listen, it's better than putting a pair of breasts on it, that's what I think.
Well, that's true. Now, you've just about gave it away there. What is? I've actually
the back cover as well.
Yeah, the back one, so I was wondering where the rest of the milk bottles away to. We'll say no more about that. I've got a quote. Well, I've actually got a statement in from somebody, and they want to know if you remember this. It's a story. Well, they got told a story by someone called Norman.
Oh, my mate Norman on the bass, yeah.
Our mate Norman, yep. Yeah, about rock poet Jock Scott, who came from Musselburgh. And allegedly, you know what's coming, don't you?
Jock.
Yeah. Allegedly, you hijacked him at a Glasgow gig and took him all the way to London.
That's right. We were having such a good time on the bus, you know, boys away from home, as it were. Jock turned up at this gig in full Scottish regalia. The whole lot, the kilt, the jacket, the hat, the stockings, the whole lot. And he'd been in an accident. I think he'd walked into a door or something, and he had blue sticky tape on his nose.
Oh, bless.
And there was just this vision of a Scotsman, and we just fell in love with him straight away. And we got him on the bus, and we wouldn't let him go. And we took him to London, and I think he just stayed there.
Did you eventually let him go, though?
Well, he went his own way eventually, but we had him around for an awful long time. And we keep bumping into Jock. And in fact, we're having a record launch in November,
mm-hmm.
and we were debating whether they could get him along there, you know, some of his poems sprout that on the night. You know, it's just the fact we're going to have a family do.
He'll maybe be scared in case you kidnap him again.
I think he's looking forward to something like that.
Getting breakaway. Oh, that was Kenny that sent that message in. So.
That was very funny. That was a very funny incident, actually. I think he was drunk for a fortnight, John.
Oh, bless him. Yeah. But we're sort of like that up here, though.
No, it's very, you know, it's not like the Scots, is it?
No, definitely not. No. You must have us mixed up with someone else. As well as your new album, you're also going back out in the road again, aren't you?
Yes, we start in the middle of November and we go through December, and I think we've got a couple in January. And, we manage to do about 50 to 60 gigs a year, mm-hmm. which is pretty good, considering everybody does other things. It's the old phrase, it's a bit like trying to herd cats, get blockheads together, but we do come together to play. Anything else is very difficult.
And you're going to be up in Glasgow on the 8th of December at
that's
the ABC.
Right, that's right, and I think that's with The Jam, is it?
From The Jam, yes.
Yeah, it's not a bad show, that sort of. Steeped in 70s nostalgia. You've got the two 70s bands there.
Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. But the new album is... Where could we purchase or pre-purchase the new album when it comes out?
Well, we've been holding everything back because of this Kickstarter thing.
Right.
Because they were rewards that people could get signed, you know, if they pledged. It's a way of getting an album up front, 2 months up front. Really.
Mm-hmm.
So after this is finished, which is tomorrow, we'll be making plans to... get the hard copies distributed, and also downloads. We'll have downloads happening.
Yep.
We've got vinyl, and we'll be moving all this around the gigs as well.
Right. So we could sort of, if we just keep an eye on the website, really.
Keep an eye on the website. It's all happening in Blockheadland.
Blockheadland. I love it. Absolutely love it. but I have to admit, the new album is brilliant. When we finish, we're going to play a track from it. Well, the track that you're going to be releasing, is it getting released the same day as the album, the track?
No, it's been released probably just at the end of October.
Right.
As a download.
Right.
There's various things happening. We've got remixes happening in America at the minute, which is really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's lots happening with this album. We're very proud of it.
Do you find that you're still sort of big in America as well now? Or?
No, not at all. Our base is here in England.
Right.
We don't travel that well. I don't, you know, it's quite a large band, 7 people in the band to make it work really well.
Yeah.
And it doesn't travel good.
Do you,
the animals I go, it's 4-piece, 3-piece, you know, at work.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you travel a lot with the animals
well? Yeah, all over the place. You've got Russia, Romania, Ukraine, you know... Been there, done that.
Do you still get a kick, if you like, when you go on stage and you've got all the fans in front of you cheering? Does it still give you a bit of a buzz?
Listen, the kick is the same whether there's 2 people in the audience or, you know,
2 million or whatever. Yeah,
whatever, it doesn't matter. The kick is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great feeling. I'm so proud of being, you know, had this as my occupation through my life.
Yeah,
great.
It's amazing. For, you know, somebody says to you, "What do you do for a living?" Well, I'm in the Blockheads.
Yeah, it's very intriguing.
I know, people probably just sort of look at you and think, "The Blockheads." Now, is he on about the Blockheads, or is he on about something else?
But it's all hard work. You know, yeah. I must stress. You know, it isn't all glamour. There's a lot of hard work in this to keep these sort of things going, especially if you're independent of the business. It's much more rewarding, but you know, nothing's made easy.
Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of people don't really see what goes on behind the scenes. You know, they just see the finished article, if you like. They don't see the hours of sitting writing and going through tunes and editing and things
like
that.
Well, you know, this little square thing that you've got in the palm of your hand, you look at that and you just think of the effort, the time.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about 3 years of work that's gone into that, and a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
It's dedicated. People who do this sort of thing have to be dedicated, or you wouldn't do it.
That's true, yeah. Very dedicated for, as you say, it takes... You have taken 3 years to do this album.
Yeah.
And you have obviously been working very hard on it judging by the songs that I've been listening to.
Yeah, we have a natural flow after 35 years. You know, there's certain things happen naturally. And the good thing about this album is what we always try to do is go in and play as much of it live. So we rehearse it up and we actually go in and play it live, so you have that live feeling. And then we put a vocal on and maybe a little horn overdub or a little pretty bit, you know. But the essential thing is it is mainly live, which is what the Blockheads is about.
Yeah, that's right. I have to admit, I've never seen yous live, but I've heard that yous are absolutely fantastic.
You must come and see us, Liz.
I will. If you get me a ticket, I'll come and see you in Glasgow.
We'll get you a ticket for Glasgow.
Thank you.
You and a friend.
All right, okay. I don't know if I've actually got a friend or not.
Oh, all right, well, you.
I imagine after this interview, I probably have loads of friends.
Good.
Because, I mean, the amount of people that I says that I was interviewing you and they're like, wow, you are kidding me. No, I am.
Well, that's wonderful, because we don't really get up to Scotland much and, you know, we haven't had great experiences.
Yeah. You were at the, was it the Wicker Man you were at a couple
of years
ago?
We did the Wicker Man. That was fantastic. Yeah, what a great festival.
You enjoyed that one, yeah.
Yeah.
I know somebody goes every year and said it's absolutely a brilliant, brilliant festival.
And we played the Rewind in Scone. Scone?
Scone. Scone Castle. Aye.
Oh, yeah.
Aye, something like that. I can't remember. Yeah,
no, we did that just, in summer. I think it was August or June.
That's right. They did have, yeah, they had the Rewind Festival there. Yeah. That's right.
And in fact, Derek did that on crutches because we'd gone to an art exhibition of Ian's drawings. You know, Ian was an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And we always used to see little bits of his drawings around, but no one ever realised what a collection he had. And his daughter pulled it all together and put an art exhibition on.
Wow.
At the Royal Academy. You know, and we all went down there, you know, on the opening night. And Derek slipped on a stairway. Well, it wasn't a stair. It went over his head, onto his backside, and shattered his pelvis.
Oh, no.
Cracked two ribs and had internal bleeding.
Oh, bless.
And I got a phone call the next day going, Mickey, I'm in hospital, mate. Oh, what's happened? He told me. I thought, God, within 4 days' time, we've got a gig.
No. Did he manage it okay, though?
We managed it all okay. They gave him a bottle of pills, a pair of crutches, and said, on your way, mate.
Oh, bless.
And he was in terrible agony, but he actually did the gig.
Oh, that is a true, true showman.
That's
that can
a true
do
soldier,
some,
that is.
Yeah, he can do something like that. As someone that's, you know, he's really is dedicated, must be dedicated for it.
Yeah. He knew that we were relying on him and he wasn't going to let us down.
That's a very, very true, as you say, soldier. He does know. But it must have been difficult for him as well as yourselves, because you would be worried about him.
We were, but we're quite used to it because we've had Ian for so long. And Ian was, although he looked sort of robust, he was very delicate, you know. You touch it as he's walking, if you nudged him the wrong way, he was gone. You know?
Oh, bless.
And many times on the stage, he'd go over in the middle of Sweet Gene Vincent or something and be continuing the song on his back because he couldn't get up. One of us would have to go and pick him up, you know.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah.
The thing is, as you say, you're sort of used to these things. So
we weren't a normal rock and roll band.
No, but you were one of the best rock and roll bands, though.
Well, we can play a funky tune, I tell you.
You definitely can that. You definitely can. It's just amazing how many people do realise, or rather know, what your music is about and that. You know,
we've tried in the last 10 years to do the high-profile festivals and a couple of tours each year, just to keep it on the boil, you know.
Even the younger generation, you know, they all sort of know it, because my son is 22, and he's like, you're interviewing who? And I went, a guy from the Blockheads, and I told him your name, and he went, oh man, he's amazing.
Yeah, well, all our stuff is very sampleable, which is the young people like that.
Yeah, but my son's not quite like any normal young person. He likes Jimi Hendrix. And,
well, he's on the right track there.
You know, likes,
my kids were brought up on all that as well, and it's done them no harm at all.
That's true.
They've got great taste.
It's true. Who would you say that, you know, like sort of you growing up, who was your music influences?
I always like music. I mean, my mum always used to play the big shellac records, you know, down in the Glen, Robert Gordon, all that stuff.
Yeah.
She was Scottish. She had, came from up there.
Yeah.
In Airdrie. And And she always encouraged music, and I always liked it. And then I think I was about 16. It might have been the age, might have been the music, might have been the change of life, because I left school and I went to work. And suddenly the Beatles, Please Please Me, and Dave Brubeck, Take Five, was in the chart.
Right.
And I just went, wow, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that is touching something in me. And right from then on, I was addicted to finding, you know, good blues, soul-y music, something that moved you, you know,
yeah.
emotionally. Not just, you know, lollipop, whatever.
I know what you're on about, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, and then after that, as you see, the
and
rest
it's
is history.
It's been a lifetime, you know, searching and finding and benefiting. Mm-hmm. And
You also worked with, was it Peter Frampton's Camel?
Yeah,
Frampton's
yeah.
Camel.
In 72, mm-hmm. I went over there, and yes, he had an all-English band at the time, and then we were all living in England. He was in America. It wasn't going to work. So, you know, after a year or something, we parted company.
Yeah.
And he continued to have amazing success.
I know. But you had success in your own right, because you've also worked with Paul McCartney, Robbie Williams, and
yeah, I've dabbled with little things, doing sessions for them. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they've reciprocated, because they came along and did you know, Ian's tribute album.
Yeah.
And McCartney did a remarkable version of Abracadabra.
Did he?
I was playing it recently. I just thought, that is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
His range, vocal range, is fantastic.
Yeah, that's amazing. But you know, it's nice when sort of the you just work together, and as you say, they've come and helped you with the album as well.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And I bet you when you mentioned it to them, there would be no hesitation at all. It'd be
they were straight there.
Yeah,
straight
I'll be there. Yeah, it's kind of like that in the music industry, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, you can. Although you're not living in each other's pockets, you know, mm-hmm. you may not even speak to each other for years, but there's just something there that binds you, and you know, you find people react, you know, a friend in need is a friend indeed.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think that's about it, is it? Or do you have anything else you want to tell me about?
I'm fine, I could go on forever.
And, do you know what? I could actually speak to you forever. I really could.
How nice.
Because it's such an interesting thing with you being in all these different bands and working with all these different people.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing. I noticed, actually, I was looking at something the other day there, and I noticed you've actually written a couple of tracks with the Blockheads as well, haven't you?
I have. Well, I do dabble a bit in the writing. I used to do a bit more, but I'm more involved in mothering them. You know, it takes up a lot of time. I run the Blockheads company, so
right.
You mm-hmm. know, there's not a lot of time for writing. But we've got enough writers in the band, and I always get a little piece of the writing. You know, when we come to do an album, I'll get in there with my ideas. Yeah,
because mm-hmm. I noticed it was the track that you helped write with Ian.
Yeah.
You and Ian wrote that track together.
Yeah. And I Want to Be Straight, which was the single I wrote that with Ian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a favourite, still a favourite, that one.
Oh, see, what are you like? You've just... Are you a talented man?
I'm a lucky man.
You are.
And I'll tell you what the secret is. You have to get up and you have to be on time.
Right.
And you have to bring your rehearsal money.
And
yeah, the three things, that's it.
And what about your lunch money?
Yeah, well, the rehearsal money comes first. You've got to starve to be proper musician.
Oh, gosh, I know. Everybody says, oh, wow, you're a musician, you're about to be, you know, sort of have rakes of money, but it's not always the case.
No.
Not always the case.
Your life's chasing the pennies, I tell you.
Yeah, I know.
It's true that the way to success is to turn up.
Yeah.
You know, because so many great artists and wonderful people, they just, when it comes to that, they're unreliable, and when you have to rely on people to do things, if you're a solo artist, that's fine, then you know, they take you as you are, but if you're trying to work with people, you have to be reliable.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. You've got to be reliable, as you say, on time. And you know,
in this life, it's not a lie-in. People think musicians get up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. No, at 3-4 in the morning to get to the airport.
You're like, I wish it was 2 in the afternoon, I could get up sometimes. I know, it's people do think that though, that's they've got this misconception.
Well, people say, oh, I didn't ring you because I thought you'd be asleep, you know. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, yeah.
You're like, well, I've been up for 12 hours
exactly,
already.
Exactly.
I know. It is. But people do have this misconception of that, being like that, you know. I don't know where people get that from, because I think that most musicians are sort of the hardest working people in the world, because
you've got it.
They're constantly on tour. They're constantly writing songs.
I think they're outdone a bit by actors. I'm very impressed by working with actors.
Mm-hmm.
They have got an enthusiasm which is unbelievable.
Have they?
You know, yes, and they're relentless. I love it. I love that enthusiasm.
Yeah, you've actually written for music for films as well, haven't you?
Yeah, Ian and I had our blue period up in Strathfield and at the Royal Court. Yeah. When we thought we were something.
What are you? But yeah, you've done a few, and did you not do a Broadway play as well? You done?
Yeah, we did. Serious Money, which went to Broadway. That was quite fun to do.
Yeah,
Ian wrote a very bawdy song for that. I think they finished the first half with it, and the American producer said, you know what's wrong with this? This play is this, you got the 9 o'clock song at 7 o'clock, because it just floored everybody. And to come to matinees, little old ladies are completely affronted by it. But it was very successful and got a good reputation.
Yeah, it got really good reviews, etc. Yeah,
I did a few Shakespeare things, you know, went up to Shakespeare Land out in Stratford,
right,
and did A Country Wife, which isn't a Shakespeare play, Wycherley play, but I did that, and The Libertine, did that, various things, and it was great experience, because we, Ian and I, got our heads stuck in the historical music, like Morris dancing, and how various instrumentation moved across from India through Europe and up into England, and composed the music accordingly.
Yeah.
So that was all very intriguing. Fun.
No, that's good. That's brilliant. So you've done a bit of everything, really.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. Well, all I can say is thank you so much for taking time to speak to little me.
Thank you, Liz, and I hope to see you in Glasgow.
Well, we'll speak once we've finished this. That's fantastic. Thank you so much indeed. Mick, would you like to introduce the next track that I'm going to play, which is off the album?
Right, well, it's going to be our single, isn't it?
It is.
It's called Express Yourself, and this is the Blockheads, Funk Delicious.
Thank you very much indeed, mate.
Thank you.
Thank you.